Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, recent stats from the Banking and Payment Federation show that there's been over a third of an increase in the past year in those taking out financing for cars, with CSO figures showing that over 100,000 new cars registered this year. So if you are looking at buying a car, what options are there for you when it comes to paying for it? For more on this, I'm joined by Eoin McGee, financial planner and presenter of the podcast Understanding Money. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
Let's ignore cash buyers for the moment and let's just talk about the financing options that are there.
Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say to you is when your neighbour drives past you in a new car and you look at that car and you say, wow, that's a lovely new car, change the narrative in your head to say, that's a lovely new loan. Because about 85% of new cars are financed using some sort of finance. And it's a new loan your neighbour's just
85%.
Got.
85%.
Yeah, that's the last figure I have. And actually, the regulation has come in more recent years, so we're getting more and more accurate figures. But it's a huge proportion of people borrow money to buy a new car. It's not a new car, it's a new loan.
This is a very old dad thing to say, but when I see somebody driving by in a brand spanking new car, I say, there goes a depreciating asset. Let's talk about the different forms of finance, though. Hire purchase, personal loan, or PCP. Start with hire purchase.
Hire purchase is actually where you walk into the garage, you make an agreement with them about what the repayments are going to be. You make those repayments every month, and typically it's over 5 years, would be a standard enough. You pay it over 5 years. And when you make the very last payment, you now own the car. So you don't actually own the car up to that point. The finance company still owns it. And at the very last payment is made, there's no bullet payment, there's no lump sum to be paid at the end. You just make the last payment and now you own the car.
And that loan is secured on the car as collateral. So if you don't keep up payments...
If you don't keep up payments, quite easy for them to hand it back.
To take it back,
right? So they can come in because they own the asset. They're really just giving you a loan of it for the moment until you make the final repayment. There is car loans as well, which we don't really need to get to the nuances, but it's a similar thing. They've taken security over, but it's a slightly different agreement to a hire purchase agreement. One of the things that has happened, and it may happen again in the future, right? But it did happen, it became very prominent where there's a thing called a halfway rule in a consumer hire purchase agreement. And we did have a time a couple of years ago where the prices of cars had dropped so much that actually the outstanding amount of money left on the hire purchase agreement, all the repayments you were going to make to pay the car off completely, was worth far greater than what the actual value of the car was. And if you'd made half the repayments, you could actually hand the car back and walk away. It was an interesting scenario for people to find themselves in.
Where you go for a personal loan and it's not specifically a car loan, so therefore the car isn't collateral against which the loan is secured, are you paying more interest?
Yes. And the reason is, like what you've just alluded to a minute ago, they've no security. With a personal loan, they're giving a loan of the money to you personally. So it's your name. It's you as an individual. It's much harder for them to go repossessing because they've nothing to do with the car, right? So if you miss the repayments, they need to come after you in some other way and they don't have an asset to go chasing.
And what sort of difference in interest rates do you think we're looking at?
Before I came in, one of the things I did was I just took a random, I'm just looking to finance a car. And I went onto Google and there was one company, and I'm absolutely not going to mention them, right? But there was one company who was very prominent with their advertising. So I jumped on there.
This is a car company, is it?
Well, it's a financial institution, let's say. They're not connected to any car at all. They're not connected to any car.
So this is personal loan, then hire purchase.
Yeah, and the two things was, it was the car loan, which is very similar to the hire purchase. Uh-huh. It's just a legal thing, car loan. And then there was personal loan. The difference in the rate was 8.6% versus 11.56%. Now, people kind of look at those numbers. What difference does that make? In roughly what you're talking about there, say you were borrowing €30,000 to buy the car, right? Uh-huh. You're talking about a difference of just under €50 a month. We're talking about roughly €580 to €630 is what you're looking at in the difference. But in total, it's about €3,000 in difference in interest repayments. You're going to spend, instead of spending €36,000 on the car, you're going to spend €39,000 on the car.
But
when
even
you add the interest back in.
It's eye-watering, though, that even just at 8.5%, that you're looking at €6,500 on a €30,000 loan.
Yes.
Thereabouts.
It's very significant what the interest... And this is what I always say to people. When you're borrowing money, it doesn't matter if it's a credit card or it's a car loan or whatever it is, you're paying for the banker's holidays, not yours. And if you can reverse that at any stage, it makes an awful lot more sense. And it is significant. And what, the reason why I picked a random Google search, I just wanted to see if you didn't go looking and doing your research and you ended up on that 11.56%, you are talking about, actually, I think I got the number slightly wrong. It's closer to 650 is what you're looking at the 11.56%. And it's a significant difference. The overall interest charge is 3,000 euros in the difference. There's a significant difference in the amount you're going to repay on a month-to-month basis and the total cost of credit, which is what they call it.
If you are somebody who is addicted to that new car smell and you have to have one every 4 or 5 years, the PCP is something that has become very attractive. Just explain to us again briefly how it works.
So basically with this is you are absolutely renting the car, right? So what happens is you walk into the garage, you pick your car, it's nice and it's shiny and it's new. And let's say sometimes you've got a trade-in, that might be your deposit, or sometimes you don't have any money at all and you don't put any deposit down at all on it. And what they work out is they work out what's the purchase price of the car. And then they say, if you promise to keep the mileage within this range, and if you can't promise to keep the car in good condition, if you come back to us in 2 years or 3 years, we will guarantee that we're going to give you X amount for that car. So let's just say, and I'm going to make these numbers up and I'm going to keep them very round. Mm-hmm. Let's just say the car is 30,000 euros. You're not putting a deposit down and they put a guaranteed minimum value in 3 years' time of 15,000 euros. All you're doing is financing the bit between the 30 and what it's going to be worth in a couple of years' time. So on our example a minute ago where we were looking at 8.5% and 11.5% on interest, that was kind of 650-ish. You could get the same thing for 500 a month on a PCP. So the loan repayments are much lower because you're not financing as much. You're financing the bit in the middle, the bit between the purchase price today and what the value of it is going to be, the guaranteed minimum value is going to be in a couple of years' time.
How often have you come up against people who have found themselves stuck in a situation where what they're being offered by the garage 3 or 4 years down the line doesn't match what they have to repay?
In general, people are very aware of the rules. And what I come across more often than not is whether it's people getting worried about coming up to the end and then they reach out to the garage or the garage reaches out to them. Most people don't make the end of the, in my experience, I don't have stats to this, but in my experience, most people don't make the end of the contract. What they end up doing is flipping it again before they reach the end of the contract and they end up on a brand new car again. And this is a real, and whether it's car loans, hire purchase, or whatever way it works, it's a real interesting tactic from the car industry to get you into a new car. If you think about the psychology of it, if you're paying 500 euros a month and you've had the car for 2 years or 2.5 years, and you go into the garage or the garage rings you and say, for an extra 20 euros a month, we can get you into a brand new car. It'll be shiny and it'll smell nice again. And it's the new model and all of these things are going to be different in it. It's only 20 euros a month in the difference.
Can I reframe it slightly? Might it be a very clever ploy by which you are kept the renter of a vehicle in perpetuity, for your lifetime perhaps, rather than ever becoming an owner?
When you strip it back, the reason why PCP was introduced, one of the reasons was the car companies were sitting with a whole pile of cash on one side where they were saying, we're not making any interest in this. How do we get this to you? Can we use this to buy cars and get people to buy cars? But the bigger thing is brand loyalty. When you start with car manufacturer Z, doesn't matter what it is, hope there's no Z, is there? But if you start with Z and you go into a PCP, the likelihood of you walking away from Z car manufacturer in the future are very slim, because we should actually explain, at the end of the 2 year period, at the 3 year period, you've got a couple of options. One is you can go in and you can give the guaranteed minimum value to the garage and now you own the car outright. So in that example, 30,000 at 15, you give them 15,000, now you own the car outright. That's one of the options. The other option is you hand the car back and you walk away, provided you've kept the terms and conditions of mileage and keeping it in good condition. And you just hand the car back and you walk away and you're done and you've just rented the car for 3 years. Or the other option, the most obvious option, is people flip it again. And that's where the very clever from the car manufacturers, because the brand loyalty, the likelihood of you staying with that brand is significantly higher, because you may not get the same guaranteed minimum value. You may not have the same options when it comes to flipping it, when you can flip it, how it's going to work. So it is about brand loyalty. You're likely to stay in the car. And let's just say, Philip, to be fair to the car manufacturers as well, if you like brand Z, go with brand Z and stick with it. And if you're happy that you're renting the car forever, PCP might be for you. But there have been issues in the past where people end up with, I'm not in a position to get a car again. I'm not in a position to flip this. I don't have the cash to pay it. What am I to do? And they're caught.
Okay. But there is another way of doing this. There is what I suspect is probably going to be the Owen McGee way of doing this. Regular saving and buying a car for cash.
Yeah. And regular saving and buying, and people will sit really listening at home going, how am I going to save the money to buy a car? The thing to do is
you're paying it out on PCP or
if you can afford the 500, 600, 650 euros a month on the car, well, then you can afford to pay it to them, so try and pay it for yourself. So maybe you buy a car half as cheap. Instead of firing out 600 a month, you fire out 300 a month, and you put 300 a month aside for you. So when the car comes around to be replaced, at least you're halfway there to having half of the car and you're borrowing less the next time. So what I would say is when it comes to that, oh, it's gone from 500 to 520, it's only 20 quid a month extra. The difference between the person who is driving around with no car loan or no finance on their car whatsoever, being attracted in to change their car, is significantly less than the person driving around with where they're just paying out 500 a month and it's going to be an extra 20.
I would suspect parental example is really the determining factor here. If your mum and dad got into a new car every 3 or 4 years, chances are that that's what you're going to think the model of car ownership should be. If your mum and dad drove around in second-hand cars for your entire childhood, well, then you're going to be just perfectly used to that.
Yeah, and I would say to you that there's a huge amount in that, but it's also about your peers. It's about what your neighbours do. And there is an element of keeping up with the Joneses, particularly with cars, because cars are such a societal anchor of what people think. And people don't buy cars, if you really look at some of the research, people often don't buy cars for themselves. They buy cars for what it portrays about themselves to other people. I'm going to give you my own personal example, Philip. I never buy a car younger than 2 years. So 2 years old is where I would buy a car. Because of
depreciation.
Yeah, someone else has taken the massive hit on the depreciation. And I think that's, to me, it's my guilty pleasure. I really like new car, like a new car to me, right?
What is the depreciation hit in that first couple of months of driving?
I actually mentioned this a couple of years ago on here, and I said, depending on the car and the model, it's somewhere between 30 and 60%. And a very nice car garage owner rang me who sells cars, and we had a long discussion, and he said, I'm not sure you could go up as high as 60%, but he wasn't really arguing with the 30%. So it's somewhere in there. I'm sure there's research, but it does actually depend on the car, the model, everything else. But I don't really care. I'm not taking it. Somebody else is. I'm buying it 2 years old. One of the things, I don't have a car loan. And this is the longest I've been in this car. I've had this car for quite some time, and I have no real interest in changing it because it's a lovely car. I like to drive it. I've no real, I guarantee you, if it was just an extra 20 quid a month to get the new model of that car, I'd probably be more attracted to do it.
Quick listener question before I let you go. PCP, what happens with the financing arrangement if you crash the car?
Oftentimes is insurance, and I would strongly recommend people have these because there's one of the terms and conditions is that you keep it in reasonable condition. And if you crash the car, first of all, your own car insurance is likely to pay out on it. There is a thing called top-up insurance, which is an interesting model where basically if your car insurance doesn't pay out enough to get you back into a brand new car,
they
make up the difference. So that's something that would be an insurance question as opposed to anything else.
All right, Owen McGee, good man yourself. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
As always,
thanks,
take care. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.